Yes, we have. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19 this morning. And I hope you do have a Bible. Because the Bible is a living book. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Father, bless this holy book now and give me unction to preach it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Elijah's a prophet, folks. The Old Testament is made up of three parts. One part is the prophets. The Na'avim, the prophets, the ones who receive a direct revelation from God. They don't check in with the priesthood. They don't check in with the king. They don't check in with the people. They just show up. And when they show up, they have something to say. They're therefore God's spokesman. A prophet, by the very nature of the word, means he speaks forth the word of God and points to the future. And this is what Elijah did. When Jezebel, who's the daughter of Ethbaal, a Baal worshiper, was married, Ahab married her and made her the queen, she set about to destroy the faith of Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, and replace it with Baal worship. And so therefore, because of this, God raised up Elijah. That means Elohim is Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So therefore, we have a confrontation between Baal and Jehovah. And Elijah represents Jehovah. And of course, she has her prophets, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the grove, on and on and on she goes. And she therefore Elijah confronted her prophets. And therefore, we have a spiritual confrontation that takes place. Not something necessarily can be seen with the eyes, although they witnessed physical manifestations, but you can believe that the spiritual forces involved here were locked in mortal combat. And so at the top of this mountain, the Mount Carmel, as you know, you've read your Bible, you understand that God manifested his power over any other God. He delights on judging gods, by the way. When he went into Egypt, he said, I'm going to judge the gods of the Egyptians. And he did. Make no mistake about it. So why? Because he's Almighty God. That's why. And you're living probably in a generation. And I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you what's going to happen when. But you're probably living in a generation where a spiritual confrontation is about to take place that has not happened for 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus Christ was here. And so, my friend, we have a confrontation, a spiritual confrontation between Jehovah and Baal. And, of course, you know the story of Jezebel. We'll get into that this morning. The issue that today is the confrontation between Baal and Jehovah. Now, just a few weeks ago, they had the Commonwealth Games in Britain. I don't know if you know what went on there, but they had a huge bull. And this thing, they fell down before, and they went through mock worship, or maybe real worship, as they fell before this thing. And my dear friend, you need to understand that this bull is a representation of Baal. And so now Baal has been transposed all the way from the time of Elijah here into 2022. We've got men and women falling before Baal. So what is the Commonwealth? The Commonwealth is the British Commonwealth. It replaced the British Empire. India was the last nation that fell from the British Empire. When it did, the empire was no longer what it had been. But now since that time, it has built a Commonwealth. And that means that any nation that wants to belong to the British Commonwealth can join, and therefore they can become part, and the Queen has is the
the queen, their queen. And so therefore this commonwealth is a joining together of nations under Britain. And so take that at heart this morning when you see Baal worship there and people falling before a bull. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 20, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God." Now look at verse 4:19. "What say I then? That the idol is anything?" No, they made it with their own hands. This is something they put together, but note carefully. "Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything?" No. He said, "The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils." That means that the idol takes on, like the Trojan horse, an issue where you can bring demonic power before the people, and therefore it becomes a spiritual entity. And the Apostle Paul told him, he said, "I would not have you to have fellowship with demons." Now, if you study for the book of 1 John with us on Wednesday night, you'll find out that our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's a wonderful thing. And if you walk in fellowship with God, they will never be separated. There'll never come anything between you, even though you don't walk in perfection. It's not in there, but you walk in the light, which means the Holy Spirit. Spirit is constantly illuminating your life and showing you anything that is not right or in fellowship with God. You confess it, and immediately the blood cleanses it, and therefore your fellowship is unbroken with God. Amen. I just told you that you can have fellowship with God and not be a perfect man. Amen. Amen. But you walk in the light. Now here we have those that are having fellowship with Satan. They're having fellowship with demons. They're walking in darkness. They're walking in the power of the gods of this world. Am I? My friend, this world is full of people that have fellowship with demons, with devils. Now you say, "Well, now, preacher, I'm too educated to believe in demons." You probably have one, amen. More than one. Make no mistake about it. Some of the greatest psychologists that have ever lived have finally admitted that even though, and I'm not here to detract from their abilities, but have admitted that the demonic world exists. It's a spiritual entity, and it's something that can only be dealt with by the power of the cross of Christ. Amen. And the blood that was shed at the cross. And so the Commonwealth Games opens up the portal and the door for bull or Baal worship. They dug a tunnel, took them years to do it, and it was the deepest, longest tunnel on earth. It's called the Gotthard Tunnel. We've talked about it at length, but the reason I include it is because it's part of what we're talking about this morning. That word Gotthard is a German word, a Swiss word, Austrian word, and it means God's strength. It was a satanic worship service from the beginning to the end. So what are you talking about? They're worshiping God? No, it's a matter of semantics. When they say God, they're not talking about my God. My God is not their God. This is what Elijah was about. Remember, if Jehovah is God, worship Him. If Baal is God, worship Him. It's the confrontation that you're going to watch take place right before your very eyes. There's no question in my mind about that. When the Lord comes back, it's a different issue. But you are living in a generation, friend, that has changed so dramatically that you are going to witness confrontations like you've never seen before. So the tunnel they worship, Satan, such a remarkable demonstration of satanic worship that took place there. The heads of state of Europe were invited to come and witness this grand ceremony. The Empire State Building had an image of Kali projected upon it. Mentioned that to you the other day. The reason I mention it is because it's part of this what I'm talking about. Kali is a demon from Hinduism, a demon that is a bloodlust demon, and its tongue hangs out. Its tongue hangs out and down. Have you noticed today that, especially in professional, have you noticed the tongues that like to shoot out and down? They may not even have any idea what that's about. But the bottom line is they have the same spirit. And the spirit animates them. It's their life. And therefore they're identified with Kali, tongue. Next time you see somebody's tongue come out and fall down, there you're looking at Kali. They projected that upon the Empire State Building. Her worshipers were called thuggies. A thuggy would come in groups, and they would overtake a band of people traveling in India, and they'd join up as friends at first, and then while they slept that night, they would murder them and offer them as a sacrifice to Kali because she's a bloodlust goddess. And my friend, we get the word thug directly from thuggy. Then the White House, the good old White House, the United States of America, had a rainbow projected upon it. But this is an adulterated rainbow. It's not the rainbow that God gave to Noah and said, "By this I shall never destroy the earth with water again." There's nothing wrong with that rainbow. But you see, they have hijacked the rainbow. That's what's happened now, and adulterated it. It's not exactly the same. But this rainbow was projected upon the White House of the United States of America, where the president lives in this country. Now get this together. We have Baal worship in the Commonwealth Games. At the Gotthard Tunnel, we have Satan worship. The Empire State Building, they project an image of Kali. That's demonic conjuring. They're calling up these spirit beings. They're calling for them. Like at the top of Carmel, "Oh Baal, oh Baal, hear us." We're talking about a confrontation. Get ready for it. Because it's coming like a tsunami. We've come to that point now. It's no longer it's like war. Everything at wartime speeds up. Speeds up. And you're watching it speed up. It's accelerating before your very eyes. And so the White House, my. The White House, if I were in that White House, I would walk out into the lawn and I'd turn around and point my finger at that building and say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you leave here. You have no authority upon the government of the United States of America." Amen. I would, believe me. And by the way, I'm running for to do away with the public school system in America. That's my office. Amen. That's the only thing I care about. Not the White House. Just if you put me in there, it's over. It's finished. It's done. No longer will they take little boys and they'll mutilate them. And this is what's in Vanderbilt University. They had something down there connected with it. And I read in the paper this morning where that they have stopped mutilating little boys being offered on the altar of androgyny, on the altar of Kali, on the altar of ISIS and all the rest of it. They're taking our kids and they're mutilating them. And don't you think that's time now to wake up? Wake up, folks. It's no longer church as usual. Those days are over. You say, "Well, I'll just go back to my church where it's calm." Your best life now, is that what you want? Or do you want something that's going to prepare you and your family and your children to face the onslaught that's on its way? They are coming for your kids, your children. They should be worth more to you than your house and your car and your boat and your bank account and everything else you have. Your children are an heritage of the Lord. They're so precious that the Lord owns the children. Amen. Which one do you suppose means the most to the Lord? A pile of gold or your children? Amen. So they're coming for them. So the White House, the Empire State Building, the tunnel, and the Commonwealth Games, the only four, this is just four, there are more. And then there's CERN. How many's heard of Stephen Hawking? Stephen Hawking, he's one of the brilliant, he is one of the brilliant physicists of his days past. He's gone on now. My understanding was an atheist, did not believe in God. And of course, we understand now he does, no question about that. It's sad too, though. It's sad. It really is. It's like that. It's like that Russian astronaut that got up in space and he was circling the Earth and he said, "Well, we've looked outside and there is no God out here." And a woman said to him, "You step outside of your craft and you'll discover God real fast." Amen. Amen. That's wisdom, folks. Here's what Hawking said. Stephen Hawking warns God particle, this is the Higgs boson particle, And that's a different thing altogether. But he says, this God particle could kill us all if science gets enough funding. This is written by Carolyn Cox, September the 8th, 2014. In his foreword for the new book, Starmus, 5 Years of Man in Space, Stephen Hawking warns that the Higgs boson particle, also called the God particle, discovered by CERN scientists in 2012, and thought to give matter its mass, could destroy the universe, and we wouldn't see it coming. Now, I can't speak to him on his level. I can't talk to a physicist on his level. I have to take him for what he says. You understand what I'm saying this morning? These are his words. He said, it could destroy the universe and we wouldn't see it coming. Well, now the Bible says the time's going to come when the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. That's what Peter said. The heavens will be done away with. That's it. And the only thing left is the Almighty and his personal creation, humanity. Look at this. In an excerpt from the book's foreword, Hawking writes, quote, the Higgs potential has the worrisome feature that it might become metastable. In other words, like metastatic cancer spreading. At energies above 100 billion, which is giga electron volts, whatever that is. This could mean that the universe could undergo catastrophic vacuum decay with the bubble of the true vacuum expanding at the speed of light. This could happen at any time and we wouldn't see it coming. And what did he say? I'm going to break it down to where I can understand what he's saying. That it could happen at one place. It could happen somewhere. But then metastasize means that it's going to move out all through the universe at the speed of light. And as it goes, it decays. In plain words, destroy the creation as we know it. Who said that? Stephen Hawking. Am I putting words in his mouth? I'm simply interpreting what he said in this paper. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Apophis? A-P-O-P-H-I-S. Apophis. Apophis. All right. Now, a lot of folks haven't. That's okay. That's what I'm up here for. Apophis is an asteroid. It really exists. 1,500 feet. 1,500 feet is the longest width of this asteroid. It's moving toward Earth. And they discovered this, I think, in 2004. It raised a lot of concern among the scientists, NASA, because this thing looked as if it was approaching the Earth at an enormous rate of speed, as they always do. Through some more calculations, so forth and so on, they've determined that it's not going to strike Earth, but that it will pass Earth 10 times closer to the Earth than the moon. That's pretty close, don't you think?
Yeah.
And then, so therefore, that's his Apophis. But now we have more research, and some are saying that there is no guarantee to not, to, you know, don't let your guard down right now. There is no guarantee that it may alter its course. Just the other day, how many of you know what happened when NASA fired some kind of an object toward an asteroid in space and they hit it? And the purpose of that was to determine if they could alter its course. How many of you know that? I mean, you didn't know it. Well, that's okay. Now you know. They did that. Now, remember what I said. We're living in a time where things are speeding up. Apophis is named after an Egyptian god, a serpent. A wicked, vile, destruction, destroyer type serpent. The serpent of the darkness, they called it. And so who named this thing Apophis? Who named it? Well, who named it? Apparently the people who named it, I don't know if they're playing with words or they could have been saying, you know, we're looking at something here that could pose a real problem for the folks that dwell on earth. In Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 10, here's what it says. Now, I want you to look at these things with me. Revelation 8, 10, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the waters. Third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now, preacher, you saying that Apophis is Wormwood? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying I'm awake. I'm awake, folks. I'm awake.
I watch things. I read them. I think about them. I meditate on them. You do that. You do that, don't you? When these things begin to take place, look up, the Bible said. The scripture says that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of those things coming on the earth. In plain words, they have vision to see that it's inevitable. It's going to come. And so I tell you this, if you're not saved this morning, a lot of this stuff will alarm you. It will cause you to be maybe upset. My purpose is not to upset you. My purpose is to give you what I know is fact, and then you can make your own conclusions about it. It is a fact that Apophis exists. That is a fact. It is headed toward the earth. That is a fact. And just do your own research, A-P-O-P-H-I-S, Apophis. So let's come back to CERN. I did a thing on CERN quite a while ago and got a lot of response on it. We've talked about the Commonwealth of Games. We've talked about Gotthard Tunnel. We've talked about the Empire State Building, the White House. And now I want to talk about CERN for a moment. Did you know that CERN is built over an ancient temple to Apollo? Now, who's Apollo? Apollo's the god of destruction. He's mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter number 9, verse 11. Turn over there with me. Now, see, these coincidences, after a while, you have to kind of say, now, hold on a minute. Coincidence after coincidence after coincidence makes you think, maybe somebody's planning this. Verse 11. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And he's one of the gods of destruction. And so they build CERN over the top of an ancient temple to Apollyon. And it also happens to be the location of Adelphi, the Oracle of Delphi. And the oracles are very important in the ancient world because they are prophetesses. They speak into the future. So they open this thing up. They build it on top of this. I wonder if they chose to do that. It's at the border of Switzerland, France. It's huge. It is the largest man-made machine on the face of the earth. And believe it or not, they're going to redo it. They're going to make it bigger. They're at work and they're going to change. But here's the thing. When they first opened this up, the head of the department of CERN, or the one who's spokesman for them, said, we are going to open up a portal. We want to open a portal. And then we don't know what's going to be on the other side of that portal. We don't know what's going to leave from here through the portal or from there through the portal back to here. We don't know. Somebody said, hold on. There is no such thing as a portal. Really? In Revelation chapter number 5, John said, I saw what? Door open in heaven. We have three heavens. We have the first heaven, you're breathing its air. The second heaven, that's where the planets and all that up there. And then there's the third heaven. You can travel 1,000 times faster than the speed of light forever, and you'll never get to the third heaven. You can't find it in the physical world. The third heaven must be opened spiritually to enter into the presence of God. I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's in Revelation 19. John goes up through a door, and then heaven opens another door, a portal, and down comes the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what Elijah, where'd he go when he went up in that chariot of fire? Well, he went to heaven. That's where he went. And so it was. Jacob's ladder. What? Where are the angels? Where are they going? Up and down, up and down, up and down. Portals are in the Bible. So what's a portal, preacher? A portal is when you move from this dimension and enter into a spiritual dimension, and you start messing around with something that you don't need to be messing around with. Amen. Folks, you've been a Christian long. Many of you have been Christians long enough to understand the power of demonic possession and the power of demonic power. Last night, I preached thousands of times, folks. I've been preaching a long time. But I had something come on me, and when it happens, I know what's going on. I could feel Satan so strong. He was coming down upon my soul. He was trying to beat me into the ground. I could feel the condemnation from him. I could feel it. Man, I mean, I could feel it. And I went to bed last night and I said, Lord, help me, get me through this. If you don't want me doing this, let me know. The Lord said, I want you to do it. I said, all right, Lord, you're going to have to help me. And I went to bed and I went to sleep and got up this morning, and that power is still there. It's here when I came into this building this morning. I'm saying things that Satan does not want you to hear. That's what's going on. He doesn't want you to hear it. Why doesn't he want you to hear it? How many of you have heard something this morning already now that has awakened you to things that you didn't even know was out there? Amen. It's awakened you. Okay, that's good. That's good. I was reading a mathematician the other day, and I've got his book, and I might deal with some of that tonight. But he's a Christian mathematician. He's like a physicist. He's up here. I add, subtract, multiply, divide, figure a few percentages. That's where I'm at. I end at that. But the mathematician, he goes way, way, way above me. And he has discovered some things that connect hurricanes and Delphi and other things that I had never seen and never heard of. He starts talking about things that I didn't even know existed. But what he did, he fired my soul up, because he began to open up things to me that started making sense in a way that I never could see it before. I hope you take what I say this morning with that spirit. Amen. Take it with the spirit. I'm going to go out of here today and I'm going to think about what that preacher said. I'm going to do my own research and do it. I'm going to check into what he's talking about. CERN sits on top of what I believe will be the entrance to the bottomless pit. In Revelation chapter number 9, Abaddon and Apollyon come up out of that pit. And not only do they come up out of that pit, the gates of hell are literally opened. And up they come. I start putting some things together. Here they are. They've got an image of Shiva out in front, dancing the Nataraj. What is that? Shiva is one of the Hindu Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Shiva is the destroyer and the rebuilder. Brahma is the creator, and then Vishnu is the preserver, but Shiva has a double role, to destroy and then recreate. Why would they put that? India gave them that, and they set it out in the front, dancing the Nataraj. It's called the cosmic dance. The cosmic dance. Now think about that for a minute. Here we have a place sitting on top of a bottomless pit, and they have a Hindu goddess, god rather, that is dancing the cosmic dance. And my friend, we have an Apophis coming. We've got an asteroid approaching this earth. We've got a place that Stephen Hawking said could very possibly create or open up or do something to something that would literally wipe the universe from the face of the earth. And it's all connected with this one place right here. So what do you do? What do you do with that? There's some connections going on. You ever heard the statement, connect the dots? We're trying to connect some dots. You say this is going to happen, preacher? No, I'm not going to say it's going to happen in my lifetime. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. But I'll tell you this, I hope the Lord does come back soon, don't you? Amen. Now, a man was killed about 20 years ago. One of the smartest men in the country. He was killed. Why was he killed? He was holding meetings all over the country and he was talking about the shadow government. He was talking about who really ran the world. He's talking about a one world government to bring it all together. And then his life ended. He said, if I do die, you can blame so-and-so for it, because they'll come after me. They won't let me talk like this. Satan never puts all of his eggs in one basket. He's the author of confusion. He'll give you all of these different organizations on this earth that do not seem to be connected whatsoever, but they all have the same spirit working for the same goal, and that is to bring about a one world government. And they're at it right now, folks. They're at it right now. My, my, my. We went to bed in the election of what's his name? Who's the president? Biden. No, the one before him. Trump. We went to bed absolutely convinced Trump had won the presidency. No doubt about it. No doubt. Wake up the next day and all of a sudden all of these votes just appear from nowhere. And Biden becomes the president. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you wonder? Your America, folks, doesn't exist anymore. You better put your faith in that which is eternal. You better take hold of that that doesn't change. You better get a hold of the one today that will take you through whatever's going to come to this earth. He'll take you through it and he'll come face to face, because when that Bible says, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and righteousness he that judge and make war. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, not as the Lamb of God, but as a King of Kings, Lord of Lords, not to be offered in sacrifice, but to take what rightfully belongs to him. But until then, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians 2. He said, he that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his coming, the brightness of his coming. And he's coming and he's withholding. God has given us enough warning to wake anybody up. We should all be awake right now. Every one of us, you're watching. God's gracious, merciful, long-suffering. He's gradually lifting the veil. And you see it? How many of you think that there's something spiritual about all of this transgender stuff all of a sudden happening? Did you know he said this about Jerusalem? He said, which spiritually is what? What did he call Jerusalem spiritually? There you go. All right, so what did he do? He connected the spirit with what? Sodom. In plain words, he said it is a spiritual thing. Amen. He connected it. Be ready. I'm ready. I'll tell you the truth. You know, I'm too old. Two-thirds of the kids I went to school with are already gone. I bumped into one the other day at the doctor's office, and Charles. I said, who's that old man? Good enough. We were in school together. That's probably the thought of me. Who's this old man? You know. It's amazing how fast you get there, folks. I'm like that old boy that says, evens cold, come, Lord Jesus, come. I've done it. I've lived it 76 years. God's blessed me, been good to me. You know. My hope is not in this place. My hope is in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord of mercy, come today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I know you young people want to get married and have babies and family and all. That's all good. I understand all that. But I've been around a while. I'm ready to see him come. Are you ready for him? Now, I just gave you a little bit of what's been going. I've studied for hours on this stuff. And it's just too much to give out in one message. Just too much. Too much of it. But I hope I've given enough today to stir your thinking, to move your heart and your mind. Amen. That's what I want to do. I just want to kind of stir you up and get you to thinking. And that will have an effect on your spiritual life and walk in fellowship with God. Would you bow your head? Father, thank you, Lord. I've done what you've called me to do. And I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm at peace. I'm satisfied. I've done what you told me to do. And I bless your righteous name for it. And I bless your name. Now, Father, we've got people in the house this morning. Maybe some of them, the first time they've heard some of this. That's okay. They've heard it now. And Father, if this is the first time they've heard it, I pray it will stir within them a desire to dig a little deeper, to check these things, to see if what I told them is true, and then begin to put it together and pray to you and ask you to lead them and guide them and teach them and show them and behold marvelous things out of your law in thy name. Anybody raise your hand tonight, this morning, say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me because these things that you're talking about, I see them. I do. I see them. I'm not blind. God bless you. I see them. I've got hands going up everywhere. You see them, don't you, folks? Well, sure you do.
I didn't really, you know, most, a lot of you know, no doubt, probably know a lot more about some of this stuff than I do. And that's okay. What matters is it going to change the way you live? We don't have much time left. If the Lord is coming and he's going to use Apophis and he's going to use CERN, I don't know that he is, but I'll tell you right now, they could sure be used to fulfill prophecy, couldn't they? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. You say, raise your hand. Say, preacher, I want you to pray for me because I want to walk with God. The time I got left in this world, I want to walk with him. God bless you. Amen. We got hands all over the place. God bless your soul. Amen. I want to walk with him. I want him to teach me. I want him to show me. Open my eyes, my soul, my spirit. That's what the prophet said to that man in the Old Testament. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. Elisha, open his eyes. Open your eyes. Bless you. Father, bless them now. Bless your word as it goes forth. Bless that blessed book, the word, and the sweet Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Now stand up. If you'd like to come down here and pray this morning.